Almost three quarters of family carers have never received respite, while half have paid privately for products or services they feel should have been publicly provided. Those are among the findings of a comprehensive survey carried out by Family Carers Ireland. A quarter of those surveyed had missed at least one rent or mortgage payment because they were struggling financially. Now, presently, we'll be hearing more about that report. First, though, Moira Skelly and her husband, Paul, from Walkinstown in Dublin, are full-time carers for their 29-year-old daughter, Kira. Moira has been telling our reporter Mark O'Driscoll that while being a full-time carer is very rewarding, it does come with challenges.
Kira has special needs, but she requires a lot of care. She has epilepsy, cerebral palsy, autism and global developmental delay. She's peg-fed, non-verbal, a wheelchair user and is incontinent. She requires 24 hours care. And Paul, my husband, had to retire early in order to help me with care because her medical needs are so high and she requires two people to meet her care needs every day. She's a 2-to-1. Life as a family carer is rewarding and joyful, but it can also be quite difficult, you know. So that's our situation at the moment.
Could you maybe give us an idea of what respite would mean for your family?
Respite can be anything. It can be like an overnight, or it can be at home. People come into your home and give you a break, or it can be away from home where the person goes out of the house. All of these things are very important and every family needs something different.
And could you tell us how much does respite mean to yourself and Paul?
It prevents families from burning out. It gives us a break from the day-to-day care. Kira doesn't sleep, so we're up a lot at night time, myself and Paul. It gives us a chance to recharge our batteries and to rest and then to be ready for her when she does come home after her 2 or 3 days away. But unfortunately, we were actually assessed before COVID as needing a lot of care and we used to get 1 week every four. But unfortunately, when COVID hit and everything stopped, all our services were withdrawn. And since then, we have had a huge battle to try and get our respite back. And we only get maybe 2 nights or 3 nights every couple of months now. And it is, as we're getting older, it's getting much more difficult for us.
And that was Moira Skelly, who cares for her daughter, Kira. She was talking to our reporter, Mark O'Driscoll. Catherine Cox is Head of Communications and Policy with Family Carers Ireland. She's with us in studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Before we talk about the specifics, tell us a little about this survey. How many carers took part?
Yeah, so this survey was done between January and March of this year. Over 2,000 family carers took part in the survey, and they are actually caring for 3,000 people. So some are caring for more than one person. The carers who took part are caring for children, adults and older people. So right across the spectrum, a high percentage of female carers, almost 90%, I think 9% of male carers. But I suppose what's really come through here is, and Moira spoke about respite in particular, 72% of the carers who are surveyed have never received respite.
Never?
Never, never in their caring role. And that is a hugely shocking and distressing figure. As Moira said, respite is crucial to recharge the batteries, to maintain the health, the physical and mental health of a family carer. Yet so many are not getting access.
Oh, right.
And the problem is respite is so inconsistent and fragmented. It's available in one county, one town and not in the next. So we have a complete, what we call a postcode lottery of respite of services in this country for family carers.
Now, it's neither today nor yesterday that this first became an issue. We've been talking about it for years. So can you explain for us, how is the system supposed to work?
So one of the big problems with the system for respite is we have no audit of how many respite beds and places we have in this country. We keep calling for that, a national audit that tells us how many beds we have, how many places we have. We then need a register where carers can say, this is the respite that I need. People with disability can say, this is the respite that we need. And until we have an audit that tells us what's already there and that register that tells us where the gaps are, we will never be able to fix that problem. On top of that, family care carers have no right, no legal entitlement to respite. So one of the things we have called for is that at a minimum, a family carer should have a right to 20 days respite every year. And for family carers like Moira Skelly, they require far more because their role is so intensive.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at a response we received from the department with responsibility in this area. That's the Department of Children, Equality and Disability. Now, they told us that a respite investment plan will be published in the coming weeks. They also said that more than 100 million euro is due to be spent on respite this year.
And look, we obviously welcome any increase in funding. This is the first I've heard of the investment plan. Absolutely welcome that. We need to tackle this issue now, today. As you said, we have been saying this for over 20 years. Family carers have been without respite, but also without financial support and without social and health supports as well. So we know there are thousands of children on waiting lists for private therapies, so much that almost 50% of carers surveyed said they've had to pay privately for, you know, speech and language therapy, physiotherapy, because they cannot get it through our health services. So income support is a huge issue. We need to see, for example, the means test abolished for carers.
All right,
allowance.
Again, will you tell us about that? Because there is a carers allowance. People will be familiar with that. Not everyone qualifies for it, though.
No, so only one in four family carers get the carers allowance, and that is mainly because of the means test. And that means test looks not only at the family carers income, but at the household income. So, for example, if you have a husband and wife, maybe the mom is at home caring for a child with disability, when they are being tested, they look at her husband's income. And if he is over a certain amount, then that woman, she will not get the carer's allowance because they are over the threshold.
So presumably, though, the idea here is that the money is targeted, that it goes to the people who need it most.
It is, but the problem is there are huge costs involved with caring for a child, an adult or an older person in the home. None of those costs are taken into account when they look at the means testing. So that's one of the things we've called for, that at least it looks at outgoings as well, rather than the gross salary of somebody. But really and realistically, we need to see the means test abolished. It needs to go to anybody providing full-time care for a loved one.
The programme for government committed to delivering what was called a carer's guarantee. So has progress been made?
So the carer guarantee is basically whereby you would eliminate the postcode lottery that exists in terms of, you know, how carers can access support services in their local community. The programme for government committed to funding that in full. That would cost about 5 million euro. To date, they have funded it 2 million euro. So there is a gap of 3 million euro. Now, we are coming to the end of the programme for government. We absolutely need to see that other 3 million euro put into care supports and services. And we need to see that coming
with
to a general election.
So with all the talk at the moment about the possibility of an early general election, you're hoping it will focus minds?
We are, and we've been meeting with ministers over the last number of weeks. We are hopeful, we are optimistic, but we really do need to see carers. We need to see them financially supported, but also through health and social services as well. We know that over 70% of carers surveyed talked about severe or moderate loneliness as well. That isolation that carers feel and that lack of value of the role of their role and the recognition and most importantly, the support that they need to continue caring.
Catherine Cox, Head of Communications and Policy with Family Carers Ireland. Thank you for being with us
Thank
this
you.
Morning.